Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast at G&G on our yearly Bible study plan. Thank you for your diligence and your study. My name is Wayne Eddingfield. I serve here at G&G on the Life Squad, which is a committee that helps head up the life groups, and I also help teach the class series. I thank you for taking your time to listen today and your time in reading and studying the Bible. And I do believe you would agree with me that we are living in a time where little emphasis in our culture is put on the Bible and Bible study. I think it's vitally important that we do a daily study of the Bible and keep in tune with God and His will for us. If you're current with your study plan, depending on when this is put online, you're somewhere at the end of Jeremiah, which we talked about a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning, or at the beginning of Lamentations, which we'll talk about today. So I hope that you're there, and I know some of you are looking forward to getting into the New Testament, which we will be getting to here in August. I know we've spent a lot of time in the last couple, 3 months on studying the law and the prophets, and many of you mentioned that I really want to get into the New Testament and the study of Jesus, which we all want to. But we will be there in just a few weeks. I currently have a chronological study Bible at home. A chronological Bible is a Bible that puts everything in order in which it occurred. And you know from studying the Old Testament that certain books overlap, or there are some prophets or people who were writing at the same time, period of time, in the history of God's people, as well as in the New Testament. For example, the four Gospels, you have four people writing about the life of Jesus. And the thing about that in that chronological Bible is this, that I really don't get to the New Testament till somewhere late in October, if you look chronologically in the life of God's people. So which kind of bears a point that if you look at the history of God and in His written word, we really don't get to that New Testament period, the period of Jesus, till the last couple months of the year in a yearly timeline, which I think is vitally important that we do study from time to time in the Old Testament, because there's a lot of God's history of His people in there, and it all leads up to that time when the long-awaited Messiah did come and paid the price of our sins and died. So we hang in there. We're almost there, getting to the New Testament. Today we are going to look at the book of Lamentations. Lamentations was a book that was written shortly about the time the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. It was written by Jeremiah, who wrote the previous book in the Bible, which Robbie talked about last week in his podcast. Jeremiah watched his nation that he loved so dearly and the city of Jerusalem that he loved so much fall, and he watched the people being taken into captivity by the Babylonians, which we talked about on Sunday morning just a couple weeks ago. The book of Lamentations is full of laments, or as some Jewish writers will put, loud cries, the Hebrew explanation is, or the dismay that the people had for what was happening at the time. It's the only Old Testament book that contains only laments. There are other laments in the Bible. If you read Psalms and a couple of other books have laments, just chapters. But the book of Lamentations has just those laments and nothing else. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 7, verse 29, it talks about how God spoke to Jeremiah and says, "Tell Judah to lament." Jeremiah also wrote laments for King Josiah, who was a king who tried at one time to turn God's people back to God, where he wanted to be, one of the really last hope of a great leader leading the people back to where God needed to be. The book that Jeremiah wrote, which Jeremiah in Lamentations, in his first book, Jeremiah, he kind of predicts what's going to happen. He puts it out there to the people, as we've studied already, and records the destructions. But in this book, Lamentations, Jeremiah records the laments that the people had, and they look back upon with weeping and mourning of what happened to Jerusalem and how the people were taken into exile. One of the things we look at in this book is what a person cries about and laments about tells a lot about their character. It tells us that if their character is a God-centered character or if it's a self-centered character. The question I'll have for us today is, what makes us cry today? What makes you and I grieve? Is it something we see on the news, something happened in our life? Well, Jeremiah lamented because God's people didn't follow his word. God's people didn't turn to obedience to God. They were a disobedient people, and in their failure to be obedient, he saw the nation again, I mentioned earlier, that he loved, and the city that meant so much, be destroyed. He wasn't weeping because he lost his favorite toy or his bank account or his investments lost 10 or 20%. He wasn't upset or crying over something he lost that brought him worldly pleasure. I mean, he was lamenting over the simple reason that God's people did not turn and heed to what God was calling him. So he's lamenting over what God was lamenting over. God saw his people turn and harden their hearts towards him and turn away. In other words, do we grieve over the same things that God grieves over? Do we know what grieves God? If you were here a couple weeks ago in my teaching, I showed a video of a young boy who was an orphan at the age of 6, lost both parents. His father when he's 4 and his mother when he's 6. But in the midst of his grief and stuff, he got tired of people being not smiling, being unhappy. So his aunt and him went to downtown Savannah, Georgia. They bought little rubber duckies and little toy dinosaurs and just handed to people to make them smile once again. So when I see this, I kind of cry and I get upset about this, not upset, but I cry because I see a young boy who in the midst of his trials, tribulations, were bringing smiles to people's faces. So the question is, what does God look upon today? What does he lament over? Does he look down and see a people that aren't happy, that are disobedient? What is it that would make God, if he was to write a book today, have you and I write this, what would be in that book? What would be in the book of Lamentations in today's world that God says, I see this happening. I see whether it be idols or us chasing the American dream or the injustice, whatever it may be, or our calendar's too full to fit him into our schedules. See, Jeremiah's tears were not for what his personal loss. His tears were for the things that entered into God's people's hearts, and they chose to reject and neglect what God was wanting them to do. That was what caused him to lament. He said, you people had a free choice to choose not to follow God. And I just wonder today, if Jeremiah was to hear and to write today, what would be in that book? So we're going to study today about the book of Lamentations. Again, we're at a time when Jerusalem had been overtaken by the Babylonians. People were being taken into exile. So we see what happens in the book of Lamentations. It contains 5 chapters, basically, which are 5 poems. We know chapters 1 and 2 build up to a high point. And in chapter 3, we see this climax come in that. And chapters 4 and 5 kind of descend. So that's the way the book's set up. Chapters 1 and 5 provide summaries of the siege and fall of Jerusalem, where chapters 2 and chapters 4 offer detailed and explicit descriptions of this devastation. Just as laments are just described here, if you're in a Bible study where it says read scripture, and the video that comes with Lamentations, they say, you know, the people kind of protest and draw attention to all the things that were happening at this time to God's people. So, as we're told in the Read Scripture video also, that these chapters are what are called acrostic patterns, which means they're written, poems that are written with chapters 1 and 2 and 4 having 22 verses. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So what happens, they choose a verse that starts with each letter of the alphabet and go in alphabetic order. So in those chapters, you have 22 verses that are in alphabetic order according to the Hebrew alphabet. Chapter 3 has 66 verses because it takes the alphabet and does it three times. So you have 66 verses in the chapter. Now, chapter 5 does have 22 verses, but they're not necessarily in alphabetic order in the same sequence of the chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 have, but it still contains 22 verses. So we basically have five poems written here about people lamenting over what happened to God's people. In fact, that's not the only time this method is used in Scripture. Another example is in Psalms 119. It also has an acrostic order where 22 letters of the alphabet are used eight times. And if you look, you'll find 176 verses. And what this was used for at that time was to help memorize the Scripture. That's why you find that common sometimes in certain books of the Bible. The book of Lamentations comes to a point in chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. What we find here in these chapter 3 is in the midst of Jeremiah talking about what was going on in his life and the things that were happening. It kind of comes to in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of what he was going through. He comes to chapter 3, and in verse 22, he kind of changes gears, and he says this in verses 22 through 24. He says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So we see all this leading up to this point in chapter 3. All the things that people were lamenting over and grieving over and upset about. We come to a point in chapter 3 in the middle of this book that says, guess what? There is going to be hope. There is hope. Literally in the midst of all they were going through, seeing their city destroyed, seeing people taken into exile, there is a picture of hope in the midst of this. He gives a picture of hope in the Lord that there will be salvation for those who wait. Now, and reading through this, if you can remember some old church hymns, there are church hymns that have been made and sung out of these verses of Scripture here. In the midst of all the grief and all the things they were going through at this time, in the middle of it all, there's a picture of hope. You know, and you may pick up the newspaper, you may read the news, and you may not see much hope right now in the world. You may not see things, and things are always reported, seems like anymore, and negative spins put on a lot of things. So if you watch the news, you kind of come away sometimes like, I can't believe all this is happening, in a negative attitude. But in the midst of this, if you and I believe and what the Word says, if you and I believe in God, and I don't care what you're going through or where you're at in your life today, there's always going to be hope. There's always hope in the midst of that. If God is in the middle of it, if we are able just to listen to Him, take heed to His calling and His Word and study His Word and apply it to our lives, there is going to be hope. Because all this was leading up to, and we talked about a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, all this was leading up to a point when Malachi was talking about things, that there would be one who would come. And that, of course, was John the Baptist, who came and was the forerunner of Jesus. So there's always hope. God always brings us hope. No matter where we're going, where we're at, what situation we are in life, there is always hope. So there's always good for those who quietly wait for God's salvation to come. It may not be at the time we want it. It may not be when we think we most need it. But he says right here that there is going to be a day that's going to come. In verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So think about this. Here's Jeremiah in the midst of writing this and lamenting and grieving over what God's people had done and what was happening to them in the midst of how he had been rejected so many times. And if you remember in the book of Jeremiah, he was, you know, in prison and beaten and those things. He said, guess what? If I patiently wait, there is going to be hope. There's going to be hope. He knew that. And that's what you and I have to do in this world we live in today. When we look around, and you may be in a position in your life where you might not see any hope today, but I'm here to tell you, if we took a look at God's Word and understand what it says, there's always going to be hope for you and I. My hope today is that as we look at this book of Lamentations, it's the message of grief and mourning over destruction, exile God's people, that we don't really have to necessarily focus on the negativity there, but we can take these few positive verses that are there and overlook what society says is going on or what the news is saying is going on and look for the hope there is for each and every one of us with God. There's always hope in God no matter where you're at. It reminds me of a picture used to be in one of my fellow teacher's classroom. It was of a stork holding a frog in his beak and the frog saying, never give up, never give up. There's always hope. You may feel like that today, but here's the good thing. There's always hope for you and I in the midst of what we're going through. And I think it's vitally important that in this book of poems about all the devastation and lamenting the people were doing at this time, and Jeremiah recording this, that he finds a time to thank God, to wait upon him, that he would bring salvation if he waited quietly for us. I want to thank you all and each and every one for your study of God's Word in 2017. And I truly believe that you and I and G&G, we're blessed because we're getting into the Word more, we're studying it together, and we're going to have a better understanding of who God is and His Word, which leads us up to the study in July, a church-wide study on the prophets, where we all study into the prophets and study even deeper into God's Word. I would want to encourage you in 2017, as our theme is going on here, that we think biblically, we think logically, and we think honestly. May God bless you, each and every one, and enrich your day, and give you God the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.